And watch how this works out, guys. Watch this. We started studying Luke in August of 2015. And providentially, we are in Holy Week. The scripture we're on is Jesus entering Jerusalem to give his life on the cross. I call that good timing. Look, we've been working, and here it is, here we are. So if you'll remember, Jesus has been moving towards Jerusalem since chapter 9. And he's been ministering to people all the way. Remember in chapter 18 that he ministered to blind Bartimaeus, paused on his mission to Jerusalem to reach one more soul named Bart, and then he didn't get through Jericho very far. He ministered to Zacchaeus and brought Zacchaeus into the family of God. And now he's moving upwards. And that's what we're at verse 28. And here's what 28 says. You ready? You got it? Did you find Luke 19? And Miss Darla is not here tonight. Well, she is here, but she's got Ellie. I can't get her away from Ellie. Ellie has powers that Papa doesn't have. And she's holding Ellie right now, and she's probably ascended to the sixth or seventh heaven by now, just having little Ellie in her arms. So Jesus now, he finished his sayings. He's been in Zacchaeus' house. He just finished the teaching that we ended up with last time on the 10 minas. The opportunities that God gives all of us. Remember the teaching? We all have different talents, but the same opportunities. So you have many hours as I have. You happen to live in the same area that I do, and it's using your opportunities as well as your talents. So having wrapped that teaching up, Jesus now gets back on track towards Jerusalem, and he went ahead. So he's leading. So the disciples, he's like, okay, guys, let's go. He's ahead of them. And he's going upwards, and that's significant. First of all, it was geographically upwards, but Jerusalem was also the holy city, the city destined by God. And people drew close to Jerusalem on spiritual pilgrimages. So it talks about going upward, getting closer to God. Aren't you glad that you don't have to go anywhere to get closer to God? You don't have to go to Bradenton. How many are glad for that? I'm just really glad. You don't have to come to Sarasota. You may want to go to Cocoa Beach sometime, but you don't have to go to Cocoa Beach. Aren't you glad that the presence of Almighty God is right here in the house? That's amazing. Because they didn't have that ability. They had to go up to Jerusalem. So they were ascending spiritually and physically. And every time you get closer to God, you are ascending. You're moving upwards. So they're moving up towards Jerusalem. And verse 29, and it came to pass that as Jesus drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, the location of these, if you're just going through the geography, Jericho is, I told you, about 15 miles away from Jerusalem. And Bethany and Bethpage are about 2 miles. So he's really just outside of the city. He's 2 miles. Jerusalem is right there, 2 miles down the road. And on the east side of the city, on the Mount of, and it tells us on the Mount of Olives, or the mountain called Olivet. And when I say mountain, if you've ever been to the Holy Land, well, I guess in Florida it would count as a mountain. Because our biggest mountain is the Skyway Bridge. But it really is more like a hill. For those of you that know mountains, it was like when Darla, when we booked our honeymoon in the Pocono Mountains, and I had lived on the West Coast with the Rocky Mountains, and there is no comparison to the Rocky Mountains and the Pocono Mountains. So all of that is like a small-ish mountain, and it would be an act of faith to really call it a mountain, but the Bible is a book of faith. It's a little hills outside of Jerusalem, and he sent two of his disciples over to another community. He says, go into a village opposite where you are and enter, and there you're going to find a colt which is a young donkey on which no one has ever sat. I want you to loose it, and I want you to bring it to me. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it, you should say to them, because the Lord has need of it. Everyone just say that last phrase with me. Because the Lord has need of it. Now, let's make it personal. Because the Lord has need of me. A little bit louder on that one. You fell off there for some reason. Because the Lord has need of me. This is God's plan. To have divine partnership. And he chose to need, imagine the divine Son of God having a need. Well, he needed a young colt. He needed a boat when he wanted to preach. He had to borrow a boat to go out and preach. He needed, in a few days, he's going to need a tomb. You know what he's going to do? He's going to borrow it. Hey, he's going to need the tomb, but just for a short-term rental. 3 days. Come on, somebody help me out here. Come on, isn't this the Wednesday crowd? This is supposed to be the most gracious crowd of the whole church. You're supposed to laugh at my jokes even when they're not funny. Yeah, see, there you go. Okay. God loves to partnership, and that's the story of the Bible. From Genesis, why did he create us? He created us for partnership. He is love. And when he's going to plant a church in Cocoa Beach, you know how he's going to do it? He is not sending angels. Well, I guess he is sending some angels, sitting right over here. Angel April, of course. And a little lower angel, Derek, a little lower angel. But the Bible does call pastors angels. That's true. It's in about messengers. But he's going to partner with them to do a work in Cocoa Beach. He's doing a work here. He's going to do it through you. He's decided that he was going to need you. Without God, you can't do anything. The Bible tells us that. But think about this side of it. Without you, God won't do it. Think about that. Oh, yeah, sure he will. Well, did he get into Jerusalem without this donkey? No, and for some of you that go, oh, you know, Scott, you're just feeling like I'm kind of dumb and I'm kind of like a donkey. Hey, this is your passage right here. See, now you're with me. Now you're with me. Now, see, this is the kind of humor the Wednesday night crowd gets. Yeah, that's it. But it's true. And I think it's great that if God, I like this story because if God could use a donkey. Yeah, you got it. Somebody just said it good and loud. It's good news for me. And he chooses by partnership to use this donkey. And those who were sent went on their way, and they found it just as Jesus had said to them. So Jesus must have known, like, prophetically. He must have had a gift of the Spirit that said where the colt would be, and also how things would unfold, because he kind of got them set up for it, because as soon as they got there and they were untying the colt, the owners came out and said, why are you taking this colt? And what'd they say? Because the Lord has need of it. Now, if you want to take, of course, you should be taking notes, because you know God will give you an upgraded mansion if you take notes. But if you're taking some notes, not drinking coffee. There's no upgrading of mansion for drinking coffee, but taking notes, there is. Just jot down this. Exodus 13:13. Let me teach you this. For a donkey to survive, when a donkey was born under the law, for a donkey to live, it had to be redeemed, which means when the donkey was born, a lamb had to be slain. If the lamb wasn't slain, the donkey didn't live. The donkey's neck had to be broken. That was the law. So, God uses donkeys that have been redeemed. Come on, somebody. I'm just telling you, on this Holy Week, God wants to use you. He's redeemed you. He's partnered with you. And he wants to sit on you. Okay, watch this. Well, no, let this. He wants you to take him somewhere. Oh, it's Wednesday, but it's Holy Week. I'm hot. I'm just telling you. This week, I know you're all here. Thank God you're here. But he doesn't want to stay in the room. He wants you to take him somewhere so you can invite people to come in here and they will be changed by the message of Jesus Christ. Come on, some. I'm telling you, that's good stuff. That's stuff I don't give out on the weekends. That's Wednesday stuff right there. Did you get that? Wednesday stuff. So they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their own clothing, their outer cloaks on the colt, and they put Jesus on the colt, and as he went, many spread their clothes. We remember this. We just came through Palm Sunday weekend. They spread their clothes out on the road. Luke doesn't mention the palm branches. The other Gospels do. But this was an activity that they would do for royalty. If royalty was coming in, they would we call it rolling out the red carpet. This is what they were doing. They were rolling out the red carpet for what the one they knew to be the Messiah, the one they were hoping would come into Jerusalem as king and kick the Romans out. That was their plan. It wasn't Jesus' plan, but it was their plan. So they honored him as the king of the Jews, and they laid their coats out on the road before him. Then, as he was drawing near the descent, so there's a little valley between the mount or hill of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice, and rejoicing is the verb of joy, right? It's what you do when you got joy. You can't have joy and not rejoice. I know some of you claim that you do, but it's impossible. If you got it, it's got to show. So they had joy, and they were rejoicing, and they were loud. They were loud. They were passionate. They were enthusiasm. They began to rejoice and praise God with a what kind of voice? Let's pretend you, when we say loud, we should say it loud, like
with a loud voice.
Okay, with a loud voice. Thank you, Wednesday people. Thank you. With a loud voice. Now I know some people say, but that Scott, you know, I'm not a loud person. And I know there are some. I'm a naturally loud person. I've been loud all my life. When I was small, and we would be out playing at St. Timothy's Lutheran Church. That was the church beside our. God bless the Lutherans. They had a big open field, and we played the snot out of that field. They eventually planted trees. I think it was to like curtail. That was after my day. They planted trees, but when it was a big open field, I'd be out there, and my mother would hear one voice above everyone else's voice, giving direction, telling people what to do. It's true. My dad said, "Making the rules." Yes. Making the guys, because if the rules didn't fit the game, I had to like adjust the rules to work properly for the game. That is true. But some of you are not as loud naturally. And so some of you are like, oh, well, Scott, I don't praise out loud. I don't raise my hands. It's not me. Until we get you in front of the Super Bowl. I'm going to tell you, there's worship that goes on during the Super Bowl. It's human worship. But when that ball crosses that line and it's your team, all of a sudden the quietest little ones are like, and the ref goes, and they join it. I guess I can do that. So there's a time, now it's not all the time, but there's a time when Jesus is in the house that he should get your full volume and your full praise. Okay, that's not all the time. Because when it's all the time, then people are looking at you instead of looking at and listening to the word. Like if you're right now, just like while I'm talking, they're like, hallelujah! So I've been to some wild churches like that. But what happens is it breaks the teaching. Hallelujah! I'm going, sit down. We're doing the teaching now. It's teaching time. Because you can tell that when worship glorifies Jesus, it's good. When worship brings attention to you, it's not worship, it's something else. So there's a time, but if you go through all of your experiences, you don't have this kind of experience where there's like a rejoicing, a joy, an upraised hand, a little louder voice than you usually have, then I'm just exhorting you in the name of Jesus to grow a little bit. Not an amen in the house, but that was a perfect place for an amen. Thank you so very much. With a loud voice for the mighty works that they had seen. So remember, this is a holy time. This is Passover. So there's all kinds of pilgrims that are flooding into the city. Some of them were from Galilee. And they're like, oh, well, there's Jesus. Remember when we were on the hillside and we were hungry and that little boy had like a few pieces of bread and a few, remember when he fed all of us? And Bartimaeus is in the crowd. He goes, hey, that's nothing. My eyes were they were blind all my life and now I can see. And Lazarus said, that's nothing. I was in the tomb rotting, and now I'm with the crowd praising. Come on, somebody. I know it's Wednesday, but we can still give them a little praise, can't we? Can't we just give them a little praise on Holy Week? Yeah. And they were with a loud voice crying out, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They were praising the Lord. They were letting a hallelujah, letting a hosanna. I talked to a couple, a very senior couple, very senior, but God is working in some seniors. If they're open to it. So these people are old. I talked to them on Monday. And the couple of good miracles. When we did healing in communion, remember that a couple of weeks ago? By his stripes I'm healed. Were you around for that teaching? If you missed it, man, you missed it. Look it up online, find it. Because he stood out of his wheelchair and walked with that truth. It was something. Then he says, and my wife, like they came from big churches, large churches, but dead churches. He really got saved in this church. He went to church all his life. He was a deacon. He was an organist. He was everything in a church, and it took him coming to Hope to find Jesus. He'll tell you that. He'll tell you that. He said, I went to church faithfully. I served in every way, but when I came here, I found Jesus. It's totally different. And his wife, you know, raised in that same kind of way, she never would let an amen go. She would never let a hallelujah go. But on Sunday, tears running down her face, he said, I watched her throw her hands up in the air and shout, amen, hallelujah, hosanna. As I told you, God's working in some of our seniors. Well, I thought some of them would give you an amen, hallelujah, or praise the Lord. Get with it, right? Yes. Because there's always the other side. The Pharisees, they said, you know, verse 39, some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd and said, Jesus, this is just too much. Rebuke your disciples, just tell them to quiet down. And he told them, I tell you, if these should be silent, the very stones will cry out. And then we talked about this briefly on the weekend because it was Palm Sunday, but just couple of things I'll just remind you about. Number one is Jesus likes enthusiastic praise. Not for me, not because the young people, Jesus. I'm going to say it again. Jesus likes enthusiastic praise. Jesus likes enthusiastic praise. He does. He likes it. He likes it a lot. Because he rebuked the religious. And the second thing is, and we pointed this out on the weekend, that you don't have to be perfect to praise. Because this was a fickle crowd. Remember we talked on the weekend? They, like, one moment they were like, praise you, praise you, praise you. Next moment, crucify him. They were fickle. Their spirituality was up and down. And Jesus doesn't rebuke them anyway. He encourages their praise when he knew their fickleness. You don't have to be perfect to praise. You praise because Jesus really likes it. And they lifted their voice and they cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus just loved it. So.